Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Each and every Friday, you hear our guy, Doug Kazarian. He works for ESPN. He is their gambling expert. You see him on television.
I wonder if he's hurting as bad as I am after the Ravens lost that game to the Patriots last Sunday night.
Doug, as you join us on the Corona Hotline, answer Waddle's question. Are you hurting as much as him?
Yes, it's still smarting. Look, you know, for years I've made fun of quote-unquote sharps who bet against the Patriots. All these years I've kind of mocked them, right? Like, ooh, let's try to get cute and make money off Belichick. That sounds like a long-term success plan. What am I doing? Just fading. It's just so I deserve the beatdown. I saw that the number moved down a little bit. I was like, this has all the making of a Patriots win. And then you just saw the energy on the sideline, and you're like, what the heck did I just do?
I only went teaser,
and I still couldn't even get the win.
Me too, Doug. I had an 8-team parlay, but I got the Ravens number down to -2.5. So all I needed to do, I was 7-for-7 heading into that game. It was only a $5 bet. For $125. All I needed was the Ravens to win by a field goal, and I felt like I lost $10,000. I lost $5.
Yeah, it's look, give Belichick credit, but I do try to learn from every loss. What did I miss? And it was the revenge spot. Like, they were really fired up after losing the big game last year, and I think they just outplayed them, and it is what it is. And the Ravens missed Stanley, Ronnie Stanley, the stud lineman. So I think there's some elements. Look, you can't overreact to everything. It's just, like I say, almost all the games have like 3 or 4 plays that determine an outcome of a point spread. So whether it's a fumble here or a dropped interception or whatnot, this market is so tight that it's usually 3 or 4 plays that determine the ATS win or loss. So sometimes you can't overreact, but like that's my takeaway. Is the Patriots are still well coached. Mm-hmm. You can still scheme against. They can scheme against anyone. And they'll figure stuff out eventually. And the motivation factor.
Well, Doug, I saw the Titans a couple weeks ago when the Bears played them. I don't think they're that good. But, I mean, are you staying away from the Ravens in this game? They're a 5-point favorite at home.
So I am, because I'm done with the Ravens. I'm done. I backed them against the Steelers. And I think there's an element, there's an edge that's kind of gone with them. I think there's a disbelief that they can win it all. I don't think they have this, like, untouchable offense anymore. Maybe I'm overreacting, and maybe they'll be up for this game. And then, because they have revenge on their minds from obviously being eliminated last year in the playoffs. But I am just worried that this team is not as dynamic as it was last year on offense. Because I think, I'm not saying the Ravens should have won. I'm saying they should have won, but give Tennessee some credit. But it was fluky. It was a couple fourth downs that didn't, you know, they didn't execute. And it just happens. And the drop by Andrews on the first drive and the long pass to him. So it wasn't like a complete beatdown and unraveling. I'm just worried that I'm going to overreact and still think the Ravens are. Because what's their best win? At Indy and then what, home to Cleveland? I mean, they've lost all the big games. So you're right. I don't think the Titans are very good either. But I think 6.5 makes it enticing. But I also don't want to lay it either.
Doug, how do you handicap the Raiders and Chiefs game when I believe like 80% of the Raiders' defense is on the COVID list at this point? You don't know whether or not they're going to be available.
No, it's a great question. My thing is, if you're going to bet the game, you got to bet the Chiefs. I mean, look, you get the COVID stuff, and you got the whole revenge factor. Mahomes is saying all the right things. When you get the Chiefs, a dynamic offense like that, focused and ready to rock, you have to bet on him. Mahomes already is a great cover quarterback over the years. Like, we talk about Bridgewater all the time, but Mahomes is like right there. And I mean, it's kind of like the Warriors, right? When they have Steph Curry, that's the comparison. These Chiefs are like the Golden State Warriors and their heyday, or at least when they burst onto the scene. And he's Steph Curry. And so when he's focused and they're bringing their A game, the Raiders have no chance. Now, that's assuming all things moving. But I would lay this 8, whatever it is. I would lay it.
Interesting.
What about the Packers? Because We talked last week. I thought that that was a layup against the Jaguars, and especially with their backup. And they barely won that game. Now they really have a good challenge in Indy against the Colts. The Packers are a 1.5-point dog. How do you see this one?
You know, it's fascinating because we had a switch in favorite here. The Packers opened up as the favorite, and then it moved to the Colts. And obviously, it's not a huge line move when you go through zero and it's under three. But still, it's worth noting, given that the Packers have been so great this year and they're now an underdog after opening as a favorite. I think it makes sense. The Colts defense, well, first of all, the betting market just loved the Colts. They're always betting the Colts. They're always on the Colts. We knew about it last Thursday against the Titans. The Colts just get this love every week. It was against the Ravens a couple weeks ago, even though they got shut out in the second half. Ravens were certainly the right side, but the betting market favored the Colts. So it was no surprise that the Colts moved to the favorite. And it comes down to this. Their defense is excellent, right? It's shut down a lot of people. They're well coached by Frank Reich. I mean, just look what the Eagles have done since they lost Frank Reich after winning the Super Bowl. They've been not close to the same offense and just decision-making with Carson Wentz and everything. So I would have to take the Colts, but I can't bet that game because I think the Packers constantly get dismissed. And it's like, then they have a performance like they did at Tampa and got waxed, and everyone's like, see, but they crush all these other teams. I think last week was a classic, like, taking the opponent lightly. The wind was a factor. They had a kick return for a touchdown. So there's just a lot of things that were like a throw out the game. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's not like people thought they were going to lose, but there was a chance that they would just come out flat and be sort of lackadaisical and not cover.
How about the Falcons and the Saints, hearing that Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback for New Orleans?
It's very interesting. So the betting market has not really moved in terms of the side of the game. The Saints are still 3.5 or 4-point favorites. But the over-under did come down 1.5. Makes sense. Winston is definitely a guy who contributes to the over in games, whether it be pick sixes or long passes. So Taysom Hill sort of ball control. Look, it's a curveball for this defense that was preparing all week. Atlanta was definitely prepping to face Jameis Winston, and Taysom Hill is a different sort of look and style. And the team rallies around him. I mean, he's gone from kind of rags to riches, like a special teamers guy to a starting quarterback, got the big contract. Sean Payton has been working on an offense with him, so when Breeze retires, maybe it's next year that he's ready for a guy like Taysom Hill. And he wants, and these coaches want to flex a little bit. Let's not forget, last year, Lamar Jackson put up huge numbers in blowouts in the primetime games, Monday night, Thursday night, against the Jets, I want to say, because Harbaugh wanted him to win MVP. It's an ego thing when you can do something with that differently with a quarterback and make him shine. There's an ego involved with Sean Payton making Taysom Hill succeed. He is invested, and it's a flex if it does. So I think the team likes him. I mean, you tell me, Waddle, if a quarterback scrambles, we see this a lot in college, going towards the sideline, and instead of running out of bounds, lowers his shoulder and kind of like flattens a DB, aren't you fired up watching that?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't trust him to throw the ball. Doug, but you're right. I mean, you're right about it. Yeah. I mean, I just, like, I don't trust Winston to throw it either. So, but
I this could be an indictment on Winston.
I do agree with you, though, Doug, that this is an example of a very accomplished coach who wants to show you that he can beat you with this guy over here. And I think that there's a lot of merit to that. I do.
It's a flex, and I think so. But my point is that I think for one game, I think it could be a nice bet on opportunity. But the Falcons have been great since they fired their coach, Dan Quinn. Last year, they were good from the second half when the division was kind of lost. So if with Falcons games, I kind of swear them off. I'm just done. They're the biggest tease ever. I can't bet on them. I can't bet against them. They're my kryptonite.
Before we get to college, because I know you have a lot of college games that you'd like to discuss, but what do you think about the primetime game with Tampa and the Rams on Monday night? The Bucs, I can't figure out week in to week out, and the Rams are a pretty good team. How do you see this? The Rams are a 4-point road dog.
I've solved the riddle that is the Bucs. You guys ready?
Yes.
Very simple. Brady's three worst games this year was at home to New Orleans, at the Giants, and then at the Bears. What did all three have in common?
Was he missing some of his wide receivers?
Oh, no. They were in prime time at night, right?
Okay.
Oh.
Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night.
Diabetes.
The guy goes to bed at 9 p.m.
We used to get those calls. We used to get those calls about Jay Cutler that he didn't perform well.
He's like mid-rem usually in the second half of Monday Night Football, right? It's like that old Seinfeld episode. You know, they'll be falling asleep by 6 p.m. Schedule meeting. You know, I honestly think there is some truth to that. It's not that he's his age. I think there's a dude who's on a certain schedule, right? We talk about these Saturday morning NBA tip-offs at noon or whatever, West Coast, and it's like, you know, these guys get up early, like 6 a.m. They go for a stretch. They usually get their naps during the day because they're up stretching and shoot around. I do think his, like, equilibrium's a little off. Whether that's the reason, I don't know, because it's only a three-game sample size. But I think there's some truth to that. If this is a guy – I mean, this is a guy who would move Patriots practice last year, and he needs his full sleep in his chamber and all that. So if he's, like, used to being in bed by 9 and the game starts at 8:20, it's something to consider. So I would love to bet against him. I just don't think the Rams are getting enough points at +4. I would need more. I need, like, 5.5.
You think the GOAT is bothered by primetime, though? I mean, that sounds
weird. Well, it's not the spotlight. It's not the pressure of primetime. It's just his body's not used to being that awake.
Doesn't like to play in the dark. Maybe he's afraid. Maybe he's afraid of the dark. All right, let's go to the college slate. Ohio State, Indiana. That's a big number, 20.5. There are a lot of people out there that think that Indiana's got a chance here. Are you one of them?
They don't have a chance to win, but if I were to have to play the game, I'd take the points. Now, I know the public's, in an overwhelming way, is backing the Hoosiers so far this week, and usually that's a bad sign when the public likes the dog. But for me, the Ohio State defense, you need a good, really good defense to cover this number against a top 10 opponent. They don't have that. They have a good defense. It's just not elite like with last year with Chase Young and stuff like that. So I think Indiana, well coached with Tom Allen, I think they're going to get enough points to keep this within the number. It may have to come down to a backdoor cover. I'm not betting it, but if I had to, I would definitely grab the points rather than lay them.
What are you doing with Michigan these days?
I am done. I made money last week. I got all my money back on Wisconsin, and I'm done. I do think they cover. I guess I can't quit them. If I had to, I think they get Rutgers, but I just can't. I can't with Michigan. Although switching quarterbacks definitely seemed like it was the right move. I'm assuming Harbaugh is going to stick with that. I think I would look. I would definitely lay it. I was very disappointed because Rutgers was my favorite play last week, and they had the lead and. They just, you know, they forced the ball. 3 turnovers was just embarrassing. 3 by the quarterback, 3 picks. So I can't back them again.
How about the Wisconsin-Northwestern game? A lot of attention here in Chicago for this one.
You know I love the Purple Cats. I've been on them every game this year. I'm not on them here because I've been that impressed with Wisconsin, right? What they've done with Graham Mertz and the offense and just the beast. And I thought the broadcast last week with Fowler and Herbstreit was so great, breaking down just how unique that offense is. They had like 3 linemen in the backfield, and they just do all this misdirection. It's very advanced. It's actually just awesome to watch. And that's what makes college football so unique and special, because you have these different sort of philosophies and different teams. So I really enjoyed watching Wisconsin. And look at the turnaround by Northwestern's offense, getting the senior transfer from Indiana, Peyton Ramsey, new OC, their tempo offense, still have the great defense. Pat Fitzgerald, he's Fitzmagic of the Big Ten, man. The guy is a cover machine as an underdog. Purple Cats are probably the right side. I'm scared to bet into this Wisconsin team.
I have a really interesting, I think that this Clemson Florida State game, I know the number's like 35.5, but is this one of those games, Doug, where Clemson wins by 100 because they've got to get back on the front of everybody's brain?
So last year, remember Clemson almost lost to North Carolina, right? I mean, Tar Heels went for 2 when they were down 1 and missed it. But even if they got it, there would be like a minute left. So everyone says they almost beat them if they just converted the 2-point conversion. Well, they almost took the lead. With that being said, it was a scare. And then after that, Clemson rolled and covered every game against an FBS opponent. I believe they did not cover the FCS game. So they just went on a mission. And I think Clemson could have, you know, the Bear could have been poked by now, right? Like, I think that was their wake-up call. But it's a big number. I don't know if it's the right spot to, like, think they're going all in. I think the next time there's a more competitive game would be a better chance. When they're laying like 17 or something, and then they'll wax them. But FSU has major problems. Yeah. I mean, major problems. And they'll hopefully get it figured out, but the Tigers could bury them. And Dabo's not afraid to run up the score in the final minutes either. So be careful taking those 35 points if you're going to grab the dog there.
Right. All right, Doug, as we let you go, we hit a ton of games. Are there any other games that you love this week that we did not cover?
Well, the game I loved the most got canceled yesterday. It was San Jose State at Fresno State. So I'm a wounded guy. Still complaining about my ex. I should let it go. I know. But I'm not. I loved the spot. I loved everything about it. But there are some games that intrigue me. Let's start with, you know, the bright and early Florida Vanderbilt. I mean, the line's 31. I think Vandy's terrible. We know that. They're winless. Florida offense may be the best in the conference, maybe Alabama. But I think the Gators open up a can and just go up and down the field. Vandy's that inept. I think it's a complete beatdown in Nashville. I think the Gators will cover the 31 with ease. I like the team total over in case their defense gives up some points at the end. So I like both of those. I really like the Illinois-Nebraska game over the total. It's at 58.5 right now. So Nebraska changed quarterback. They went to McCaffrey, much better. Built a 24 or 27-3 lead against Penn State a week ago, and then they kind of went into prevent offense. But by halftime, they were rolling. I think it's going to be an electric offense against an Illinois defense that is just putrid. I mean, just really, really bad. And the Illini has started four different quarterbacks in as many games. But the new Juice Williams, Isaiah Williams, might be their best one. Now, Peters is probably coming back. He's obviously a much better thrower. But I think Lovie Smith and that glorious beard of his is going to use both quarterbacks. And I think we're going to see some points here. I think over 58.5. Nebraska, far cry from the black shirt days. We'll see some points there. I did expect to see some points tonight with Purdue and Minnesota. I'm hearing some things that the Purdue quarterback is out. And we've seen a line change now. Minnesota's now the favorite. Brohm still likes to keep things close to the vest. We might see Rondale Moore return. Bell's there already. They have a good offense. But Minnesota's now -1.5. So I think I'm laying off the over in that game. I did like it, but obviously you lose a quarterback. I'm off that one. Now, the Stanford game is interesting. It looks like there's reports surfacing that Wazoo's stud freshman is going to miss the game with COVID. And that so now Stanford's now a 4.5-point favorite. I think if you can get four or better, if there were some threes popping up last night, I think if you can get four or better on Stanford, you have to lay it. They've looked pretty good, all things considered. So I'd have to lay it. I mean, Washington State, the new quarterback, the quarterback is great. The other guy has no experience. So I think you have to imagine there's going to be a considerable drop-off. So I would still lay four, maybe 4.5. But I just don't – if it gets to 6 or 7, you got to be careful laying that. I mean, it shouldn't be that big of a swing for just one freshman quarterback. Same thing with UCLA, the Oregon game. Like, UCLA quarterback looks like he's going to be out. That number's ticked up. I'd lay 17 or less with the Ducks. That was a game that certainly I had circled. And that's about it. I read through a bunch of games. I was loving that San Jose State play, but no, too bad. Too bad.
Yep. Good stuff, though, Doug. We appreciate it. Thanks,
Doug. Have a good weekend.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
I have an update, Waddle, on Drew Brees' future. And it's not great. And is it fair what ESPN is doing with their backup quarterback now? We'll get into that coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
So Adam Schefter just tweeted here in the last few minutes, right at the end of our interview with Doug Kazarian, that the Saints have officially placed Drew Brees on the injured reserve.
That's what, 3 weeks minimum?
Minimum 3 weeks, right. Minimum. So, you know, that one report always stood out to me, Waddle, where, yes, they're optimistic, but, you know, they're hopeful that he'll be back for the playoffs. That's a lot longer than
right,
3 weeks,
right.
You know? So I think there's still a pretty big range on Brees. And if you missed the news today, a lot of people thought that it would be Jameis as the quarterback, sort of what they did with Teddy Bridgewater. While they've always liked Taysom Hill and he's getting more money, and maybe Sean Payton's got plans for him in the future, that it would still be Jameis as the backup. But no, the reports are from Shefty and others that it will be Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback for the Saints.
There was a time when Taysom Hill had 13 career pass attempts, and he now has 18.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
So he's 10 of 18 for 205 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception in his career throwing the football.
So then I don't know if you know this or even care because you're not really into fantasy football, but a big controversy this week, guys, is Taysom Hill is listed on ESPN's fantasy football as a tight end for this weekend. And they may change it in the future where a lot of people now are slyly playing him as a tight end and you're going to rack up a ton of points because he's going to be running, he's going to be throwing, and...
Run! erroneous.
You know, there's a lot of controversy over that. Meller tried to trade him to me earlier in the week. And yeah. I'm like, get out of here.
Are you guys still doing that? You guys still have your big money league?
It's not a huge money league. It was, I think, $200 this year was the entry fee.
Meller gets you all to give you give him all your money?
Meller tried to have me trade Aaron Rodgers for Taysom Hill. You know, I don't even know if he told the story. I saw that he was promoting that he was going to tell the story. But, you know, and I called him a dirty name. Yeah. I texted him back because he just sent me, like, what Meller likes to do is you have certain friends who will send you the trade request through a text, and then you officially put it through the trade machine, and then you can approve or just. He just likes to send it through the trade machine just to see when you get that email what you're going to say. And all I said to him was, you know, pound sand in Waddle
Limbo. I stopped being part of his, hey, let's take the kids on vacation fund a long time ago. So I'm not in any of the fantasy football leagues where he's killing everybody.
Yeah, he's not killing everybody in this league this year.
No?
No, that's why he's trying to get Aaron Rodgers on his team. I've got Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers, and I've been obviously benching Aaron Rodgers because Kyler Murray's been the play. But I thought that was interesting with Taysom Hill this weekend, where you can play him as a tight end, you know, because he hasn't really played quarterback. He's run. He's lined up as tight end.
What happens if the Saints get behind? Do they then bring, say they're down 10 or 14? I mean, the Falcons have the ability to score on you. So do they bring in Jameis at that point if they need to throw it more than a couple of times? He's
maybe got
18 career pass attempts.
Right.
He's making like $17 million, though, isn't he? I mean, isn't he making some sort of ridiculous amount of money?
That's what I'm saying. And people, remember, told us at the Super Bowl last year that they still thought of him as he's supposed to be the quarterback of the future. Now, do you think we'll see him more, a more Saints-like game plan, or will they totally cater it to Taysom Hill?
Yeah, they're going to cater to him. How old do you think Taysom Hill is?
28?
30 years old.
30, wow.
So, yeah, I'd be very surprised if I may be wrong. Again, Sean Payton, I think, likes to show you what he's capable of doing, but I'd be very surprised if Taysom Hill drops back and throws it 25 or 30 times in this game.
Chad's on the north side. Chad, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's going on, guys? So, Sylvie, your story brought me back to my childhood stories of magazines.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah, this was right out of the chute. We were talking about Playboys and Hustlers.
So, third grade, we're playing Nerf basketball at Stephen Penfold's house.
See.
Ball rolls under the couch. Boom. There's a Hustler under the couch. So, we don't know what it is. We
Lucky
open this
here.
Thing up. Yeah. So, that kind of sent us on a little manhunt. So, we end up searching throughout the house in the dad's office. There's a stack of about 40 to 50 Hustlers. There was not one that we didn't look at. So this kind of turned us into a bunch of little savages. So fast forward about a month later, my dad's having a pay-per-view boxing party over at the house. So back in the day, you have to go get the box. So after the boxing was over, all the dads are outside of the deck, and we scroll and we order the Playboy Channel.
Nice. How old were you again, Chad? How old?
I kid you not, third grade.
Wow.
So
you guys were advanced.
So one of the dads is pointing through the window, and he's going, hey, what are they watching? And, you know, they were obviously really sober, so they came in and actually kind of embraced it.
Oh, my God.
But it's a little early to have a father-son conversation about porn, isn't it?
But then one of the moms that was over comes in and starts screaming, so she kind of ruined the party and shut it down. But, yeah, so I was pretty scarred. Well, I don't know if you call it scarred, pretty early.
I got to say, if I was part of your crew and, like, I was in there sitting and watching with you and your dad came in, I'd be like, Chad, can you get your dad out of here? He's making me really uncomfortable. That would be really weird.
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess you could say. Yeah. So we had a good little, we'd change the channel if we thought someone was looking, flip it back. It was a good time.
That's
best. Good old American fun.
That's American fun right there.
Good
where
old
you're,
American
you,
fun
you're
right
a
there.
Rebel as a young kid. I'm telling you, you always remember the names of those kids who had the magazines or that you ran with.
Or where you could get the booze. Tom Theory. I mean, Tom Theory, you know, had the tap in his house. He had the keg in his house.
He's the one who you would fill up the milk jugs,
yes.
right?
That yeah,
you told
he'd come
us
walking up his driveway that we had walked up the hill with. If he had the 2-gallon jugs of beer, it was on. It was going to be a good weekend.
Yeah. Did you hear Danny's story today, by the way? Danny no. Did this with Cap. Danny was at a gathering with three of his best friends who are married couples. The mm-hmm. guys are his best friends, and now his wife, Diana, is friends with the wives. So they were like, this was a few weeks back. They were sitting out in the yard drinking, and the women were together in their own group, and the men were off in their own group.
Okay.
Everyone was yucking it up, having a good time. The guys, nothing wrong with the guys. These are lifelong friends of Danny's. And, and then when they got in the car at the end of the night, Diana, Danny's wife, says about one of Danny's friends that the wife said that she's going to divorce Danny's friend. And Diana said, you can't tell your friend. And his friend had no clue it was coming. So Danny wanted everyone to weigh in because it's now I think he's been told. But this was a few weeks.
I would hope so. I hope this wouldn't be the first day that he has heard this.
No, but what his question was, what would your wife has learned this in confidence, but this has been one of your oldest guy friends ever. Would you go and tell your friend? Or do you not weigh in on their marriage thing and you just let them find out?
At first blush, my response would be, I think you have to let... I don't think he needs to hear it from you. He needs to hear it from his wife. That'd be my first... I mean, that's my first...
It was a really good... I didn't know, but I think I lean your way, too. I thought it was a very odd situation.
Like, you don't want to be in the... You don't want to be in the middle of that.
Yeah, no. No. 312-332-3776. We've got Waddle's World... We've got Dave Revson coming up.
All right.
We've got some good games in the Big Ten. We just went over them with Doug Kazarian. And Jim Harbaugh's future, a bigger picture discussion on this. And does he have value in his next job if indeed Michigan decides to move away from him at the end of this year? So a lot to discuss. We'll get to Waddle's World coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Welcome in. It's Friday edition of Waddle's World, and it's brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Did you get the new Taylor Swift album, Sylvie? We were having a music conversation at the break.
Well, we subscribe, and I don't know if it's good money, if the fellas are going to laugh at me. We subscribe to Pandora. So, like, you have everything on demand.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to download the album. I can. But if my wife wants to listen to it or... but no, I don't know if I've heard any of the new tracks.
Okay. I don't think you even have to subscribe to Spotify to be able to listen to it.
Oh, really? Like on demand?
I think if you subscribe, you get it without without commercials.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how that's what we do. We pay like $10 a month.
I don't mind the 30-second commercial. I'm cool. I'm cool with it.
So you haven't heard it yet. I know you're a Swiftie.
Huge.
Yeah.
I think all of her music's great.
It's not poppy.
It's not poppy. It's good, Sylvie.
It's not poppy.
It's good.
It's basically
folksy.
It's folksy. Yeah.
Okay.
She used the entire band, The National, and made an album with them. And they're very somber. They're very.
Yeah, it's
I'm
good.
Sure, it's going to be great. Everything she does turns to gold.
It sounds amazing.
Like I used to when I first started dating my wife, and she would tell me about this. I would say, look, for Christmas or for your birthday, I'll get you the Taylor Swift tickets. You go with a friend. Pick a friend. I'm not going. It's not my scene. I don't want it. I started listening more. Next thing you know, we're with the Boyles at Soldier Field to see Taylor Swift a couple of years ago. And like, I started liking her music already then. And then when you see her in concert and the show that she puts on,
she's great live,
fantastic. Yeah. And I was worried that there were so like there's so many kids who like her, but we had pretty good seats.
Why were you worried?
I didn't want it to be a concert where there was a bunch of 13-year-olds
screaming
just
kids?
Screaming. Yes. Yes. But it was better because it was an outdoor venue. And I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I got hammered, and she put on a great show.
Outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding.
There's definitely video of Sylvie singing at the top of his lungs.
I think so, yeah.
Remember that?
At the top of his lungs. Yeah. Yeah. Forever, ever, yeah, back together.
Is this album also, you know, like somebody's done her wrong?
Oh, always.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Always. Yeah. Yeah. She still can't get over Calvin Harris.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
You know what? I'm going to listen to the Chris Stapleton album first. Maybe I'll sample her album later.
You're not going to be disappointed.
Okay. I'm just saying.
It's fine.
I'm going to go to Stapleton first.
That's fine. That works.
When was his last album?
Oh, Stapleton? 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, didn't you just come out with
it? I knew what you meant before this one.
Yeah, no, last Friday. Yeah.
New stuff released.
Yeah. It's good. Toronto Raptors are set to begin the 2021 season in Tampa. They were unable to reach an agreement with the Canadian government on a plan to play their home games in Toronto amid the coronavirus pandemic. Team will instead play at the arena there in Tampa. Which is home to the Tampa Bay Lightning. So
that's interesting.
Official said there's a chance that the decision could be reviewed at some point next year. But right now, they have to do this because of the cross-border travel issue. So they're going to be based out of Tampa to begin the start of the season.
It's happening fast, guys. Free agency is now. And, you know, training camp is in a couple of weeks. And then they start just before Christmas.
Enes Kanter has gone to the Blazers in a three-team trade. Portland trading for the Celtics center in a deal that includes the Grizzlies. Memphis gets Mario, the guy from, isn't he from France? Herzen.
Zonia?
Yeah. I don't know if he's from France. Is he from France?
No, I don't think France? He is.
No. Where is he from?
I would guess, like, Serbia.
Okay.
That's where I would guess.
All right.
Hazonia?
Who's the guy that played in France from several years back? No.
Parker?
Nope. You're going way back. I'll figure that out.
Wait, no. I was from France.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, there was.
Not Batum.
No, not Nicolas Batum.
Didn't he have a nickname? What was he like? Something based on coming from France?
Is Tony that who Parker? You're thinking?
No, would you stop, Chris? Pitt and Virginia Tech are going to be outfitted with masks on the field as part of a mandate. How about that? Teams will be outfitted with face coverings on the field as well as on the sideline during tomorrow's game in accordance with Pennsylvania's new COVID-19 safety guidelines. Panthers and Hokies would be the first two college teams to wear face covering in a game. The new order issued by the Pennsylvania Secretary of Health earlier this week requires coaches, athletes, and spectators to wear face coverings while actively engaged in workouts and competition.
Yeah, this could affect the Steelers too, correct? I think I saw a report today that they have not given, as of now, the Steelers some sort of an out on this.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that they would give them the go-ahead that they don't have to abide by this because they're professionals. So I have not seen that yet. Taysom Hill will start for the Saints over Jameis Winston, as we've been telling you. Teddy Bridgewater is a game-time decision. We'll find out before that thing kicks off whether or not Teddy Two Gloves will be out there. Anthony Davis is set to wait to commit to the Lakers. That's where he's going, right, guys? He signed a giant max contract. So, you know, when he said...
Yeah, they're contemplating length and amount.
When he became a free agent, I sent you guys a text, and I go, is there a chance?
Yeah, no.
Not now, though. But this is why, if you're a Bulls fan, keep your eyes on the situation. If you have the outside hope and dream that someday he'll sign with the Bulls as a free agent, watch how long this contract is.
Yeah.
If he only re-ups for another year or maybe two, that's where you keep your eyes on.
Chris, I thought like he was only going to do a deal to get to his 10th year because then in his 10th year he can make the maximum amount of money. Like once you get to be a 10-year veteran, you get the super, 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 super max.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all in play. He also said he's not going to, sign it until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, he's
going
to wait.
You never know. Maybe someone goes back home for Thanksgiving, see some relatives. You never know. You never know,
at
guys.
A safe distance.
Yeah. Safe distance, you know.
Browns have put Miles Garrett on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Yeah, people think on the Twitch channel that you're thinking of Gobert. Are you thinking of Gobert?
No. I'll
Rudy
figure
Gobert.
It out. No, I'll figure it out at the break.
Batum?
I'm going to come in there and have
what?
A word with you.
And what?
You don't want to know.
From 6 feet away. Yeah. Yeah.
I could. I got reach. I got reach. All right. When we come back, I have several stories, including the nuttiest story of the day and a little something we like to call for.
Frank Nicolita? From Frank Nicolita?
Who?
Evan Fournier?
Frank Nicolita?
Maybe. No.
Nitikaliginina?
No.
What is it?
No. No. Well, I'll tell you when we come back.
This hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura MDX and the all-new 2021 Acura TLX today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Shut up in there.
He's so mad.
What's he mad about now?
So
about
feisty.
French basketball players?
Yeah, Frank Nicolita. Nicolita.
He was a kid from the Knicks, right?
Yeah, it was him, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. And the guy that actually was traded is from Croatia.
Props to whoever it was in the chat, in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 that said it first. ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hey, the nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Yeah, you know what today is? It's Friday. And what does that mean, Adam?
It means we are giving you not $100.
Not $100.
Not $150.
Not $150.
Not
$175. Not $175.
And I can say this Friday, not even $200.
What?
Whoa.
Not even $200.
Whoa.
What? Not even $200.
Whoa.
Well, technically $200, but twice. So there's a statute of, there's logistics involved, and sometimes people don't respond in a timely fashion, and that means they give up said prizing. And someone didn't claim a prize, so we've got two, not one, but two $200 gift cards.
Whoa.
To give away. We've got one for Kirkwood's Bar and Grill.
Okay.
A Chris Black and Adam Abdallah staple up in Lakeview. And we've got one for DC Cobbs in McHenry.
All right. $400 worth of stuff to give away.
$400.
How do we give that away?
So at $550, don't
call
now. Name
your favorite French basketball.
At $550, I will tell you to be callers 20 and 40. Caller 20 gets his
Ronnie
pick.
Ronnie Turioff.
Excuse Don't me? Call now. Is if you a, call now.
Isn't he a hockey player?
Yes. No. If you call me now, you owe me $200. That's how this works.
Okay.
Fair trade.
No. Nobody's giving you $200.
I'll be the judge of that.
No, you won't.
I will be the judge.
No, you won't.
I will be the judge, the jury,
you
and
don't
the
claim
executioner.
Him anymore.
I am Judge Dredd. I am
Judge Money.
I am the law. I am Judge Dredd.
Isn't, so anyway, you're isn't a fool. Isn't Robert Tonyan from McHenry? I believe he is.
Maybe he's
the tight end for the Packers.
Maybe you can get carry out with him at DC Cobbs. So at $550, be caller 20 and be caller 40. If you're caller 20, you'll have your choice. If you're caller 40, you'll also you won't have your choice, but you're going to get $200 to one of these fine establishments.
Very
courtesy,
generous of you.
Yeah, courtesy of Screwball Peanut Butter. Not generous of me. Generous of whoever didn't turn in their prize claim form.
Waddle, you know who played basketball in the NBA from McHenry?
No, I don't.
I'm just kidding.
No, I don't. Fill me in.
I'm joking.
Biker with meth falls during a race, accidentally shoots himself before getting hit by a car.
Wow, that's like out of a cartoon.
Biker with meth falls during race, accidentally shoots himself before getting hit by a car. Let's go to Kansas City, man.
Oh, Kansas City, wow.
A man in possession of meth was critically injured Thursday after falling while racing on his motorcycle, during which he accidentally shot himself and got hit by a car, according to the Kansas City Police Department. I apologize for breaking into laughter. This guy's hurt.
Yeah, this is everything, right?
But the story, I'm a small-minded person, and it made me chuckle. Officers and medical crews responded to 12th Street and Kansas Avenue in reference to a car crash and transported the man to an area hospital where he is critical, but he does not have life-threatening injuries. So I feel better about that.
Where did he shoot himself?
On 12th Street and Kansas Avenue.
Yeah.
Here's the police narrative. This is what it states. While racing, the suspect lost control of his bike and wrecked. During the accident, a weapon in his waistband discharged, striking him in the hip. And he was also struck by another vehicle that fled the scene. He was transported to an area hospital in critical but non-life-threatening condition. A records check revealed him to be a felon. And a large bag of suspected meth was located in the motorcycle.
He still didn't look as bad as Nick Foles when he got carted off.
I've got another story here for you. It says, here's the headline, Canadians warned about car-licking moose. Canadians warned about a car-licking moose.
Okay.
Officials in Western Canada warning motorists not to interact with moose if they find the animal licking salt off their cars.
Meese.
No, moose.
No, goose, geese, moose, meese.
Nope. Moose. They're very aggressive.
I was going to ask you, are they a friendly animal or no?
Not when they're trying to lick the salt off your vehicle.
Aren't they the number one animal you're supposed to avoid when you're up in the northern woods?
I thought that was hippos.
You'd think bear.
I would think mountain lion, too.
I've heard the moose is not a friendly beast.
Really?
Right. But I would rather... I'd rather take my chances with an angry moose than an angry grizzly bear.
I think where I got this from is because people assume danger with the bear, but they think the moose may be...
So they go in for a pet. Next thing you know, you're pinned to the ground with these giant antlers and you're getting stomped to death.
Or rub yourself in salt and you'll get licked.
No thanks. Did you see Cutler when Cutler got close to a real-life bear recently? He had that on his Instagram page.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Did he throw an interception?
It was... Yeah, he threw it to a Packer instead.
Biker with meth falls during a race, accidentally shoots himself before getting hit by a car.
All right.
Hey, you want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Also, if you're ever in a place where there are hippos, don't try to touch the hippos.
Do you realize that the hippopotamus kills more people?
It does.
I believe on the continent of Africa than any other animal.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is true.
People know stay away from a lion, but they see a hippo, they're like, "Oh, baby hippo."
Yeah, don't do that.
Man on LSD randomly assaults security guard. A man hopped up on LSD, randomly attacked a security guard. Police say James Arvid was hopped up on LSD and in a quote in a state of delirium and unexpected strength.
How does that happen? That after you're all hopped up on LSD that you are delirious?
You're in a state of delirium and unexpected strength. His body, he was bloody and sweating profusely.
Did he think he had that strength or did he actually exhibit that strength?
He was ignoring commands and repeatedly kicking his legs. He was restrained.
I do that when I gotta go potty.
And later taken to a hospital.
What's wrong with you? I gotta go potty.
That's Florida.
Yeah, come on. That's Tampa.
That's Dade County,
totally,
Florida.
That's totally Tampa.
I'm going more Miami.
Miami Beach. Yep, Florida.
A man took LSD and randomly assaulted a security guard at the wonderful, wonderful
World of Disney?
Animal Kingdom Park theme park in Orlando. Orlando? Is that Orlando? Yeah, that's
Orlando
in Orlando
area. Right.
The man was from Pompano Beach.
Pompano Beach.
Pompano Beach.
Yeah. Not the last name
What is the bodega? You can find a bodega.
Maybe if you're from Cincy, you call it Pompano, but the natives call it Pompano.
No, they don't. Pompano Beach is what they call it.
Yeah, whatever.
It's Coconut Grove.
Listen, just because I'm civilized and I call it by its proper pronunciation, Pompano, not Pompano. Everybody get in the car. We're going to Pompano.
Pompano.
Listen, what did you call it?
Pompano.
I'm not getting in the car going there.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
It's a family town.
No, I'm not going
there.
It's
a great place to get LSD.
Oh, jeez. Let's talk to Dave Revson in 2 minutes. Is Jim Harbaugh and Michigan just about done with each other? We'll find out in 2 short minutes.